symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and today I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of the Spine Buster, the 1A of Tag Team Wrestling. He's our television champion. He's the enforcer. He's AA. He's Arn Anderson. Arn, how are you this week, man?
I'm in a Glock mood this morning.
All right. Tell me about it.
Well, yesterday, and I know we're ahead on some of these tapings, but was the big Florida-Georgia football game. And that, along with South Carolina, are two teams that I really am scared to death of on a yearly basis. They give us fits. And, brother, Florida came out and took that ball and ran it down Georgia's throat very first possession of the game. And I went, oh, no. Cannot be. Our best players on the sideline walking around in Bermuda shorts. He is not playing, and this looks bad. And that is the last good thing I have to say about Florida, because, brother, either somebody did some ass chewing or somebody woke up or something, because the rest of the way was Georgia Bulldogs.
I saw the final score. I was out and about yesterday doing some things with the family, and I was looking through the college football scores, and I saw Georgia trounced them, and I knew you'd be in a good mood this morning. And I said, hey, while we have them in a good mood, let's get them to record a few episodes prior to watching the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. So this is what the plan was.
See, so you're like a guy that really knows how to manipulate things. I knew I liked you, you manipulator.
So we got you in a good mood, Georgia won, and so we're going to have some fun. Hey, let's get a couple things out of the way, because this is an Ask Arn episode. We're just calling it Ask Arn, not Ask Arn Anything, or almost just we'll Ask Arn, and we'll pick and choose and go through. We have a lot of great questions to get to, but there's a couple reminders, as we always do here, that I want to get to. And the first is a big announcement, because as this drops on the main feed, which is on Saturday, November the 4th, there will have been, started yesterday, Friday, the November 3rd, a pre-order that began over at majorpodmerch.com, right? It's active for 2 weeks. It's a pre-order for a brand new action figure of you, Arn, and we're really excited about it. It's 2 weeks, 2 weeks. So you got to get in there from November the 3rd to November the 17th. Pick up Arn's new action figure. It's a part of Series 6, majorpodmerch.com. Arn, talk about it.
Well, I never thought when I started wrestling this would be where it ended up, me having a toy.
Right?
When I first started, that's what you would have called it. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to make a toy of me? You got to be kidding.
Right.
Well, God, it just seems like the older I get and the more stupid shit I do, the more people like it. So
you're marketable. Not? You're marketable, man. It's as cool. We talk about action figures. We announced a few weeks back a video game in 2024. People want more Arn in their life, whether they can play with you as an action figure, play with you on a video game. It's something else, man.
Yeah, I'm very flattered and very thankful that anybody would think of me in that light. And I'd appreciate everybody's support. And hell, it's even got gimmick muscles.
Gimmick muscles?
Right.
I was going to say it. Never mind. Gimmick hair. But why am I doing this to myself? Why am I saying this, Paul?
See? We were rolling right along.
We were so happy.
Having a good morning. Drop the bomb.
It's so good. Guys, take advantage of it. Go out there 2 weeks. We'll talk about it next week as well on the show. MajorPodMerch.com, and take advantage of that pre-order. Hey, this is something really cool, too, when you get it, to have Arn sign for you at all his appearances, too. It's a great collectible item, so take advantage of that. Speaking of signings and meet and greets, Arn, the other item that I wanted to touch on before we jump into the questions is WrestleCade weekend, November 24th through 26th in your backyard, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. You and Brock are going to be in attendance. Brock's going to wrestle that weekend. And man, I'm talking about an unbelievable event. If you, when you talk about cons and wrestling events, they put on a spectacular show. You're going to be there, as I said, and Brock, signing, talking with fans, just taking pictures, all that great stuff. So make sure, if you haven't planned already, you do everything you can to be down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and come say hi to the Enforcer, say hi to Brock at WrestleCade weekend. Arn, I know you're excited about that event.
Yeah, and don't let me forget to back up just a week for when this drops. Let's just go ahead and do it now. So sure. I'll do it in order. We're going to be in Tallahassee.
Okay.
For a signing. And it's the first time that they've had a con in Tallahassee. That's great. I love FIRST. It's the first time I've ever done a signing in Tallahassee. That's going to be the 4th and 5th, Friday and Saturday.
So as this drops, that this weekend, yep, you're in Tallahassee. Gotcha.
Come on down, see me, guys. I got a couple of things I'd love to say to every single person comes through that line. I'm very thankful for the career you've given me, and I want to shake your hand and thank you for that. And that's going to be tremendous. Brock is going to be wrestling, and his partner, believe it or not, is going to be an Anderson. Not this one.
CW. Okay.
And their opponents are Devon Dudley's sons.
Very cool.
With Devon in the other corner.
Nice. Now,
so there's a generational twist there. It's going to be very interesting. We're honored to share the ring with those guys. And that's going to be
a hell of a match. The Dudleys and the Andersons, second generation.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I love it. So if you can get to Tallahassee, get there. And as this show drops, as Arn's saying, it's going to be that weekend. But if not, then go on to WrestleCade and be a part of that one. So there you go.
The following weekend, right?
All right. And then grab your figures, because, man, by the time you get those, Arn and Brock will be somewhere else, and you can get those autographed and signed. Take advantage of all this good stuff with the Enforcer. The comics books are on their way, too. Those should be popping in. And then we'll talk about some merch at the end of the show. But with that, I want to get into it, because this week is a special week. We're doing Ask Arn Anything. And as I announced last week, this is the last one we'll do till the end of the year. We're going to wrap up the end of the year, kind of our Christmas and New Year specials. We'll do some Ask Arn. So don't worry. If I don't get to your question, or we don't get to your question this time around, we save them all. We're going to come back around and do a two-part episode to wrap up the year. But Arn, you ready to jump in this week? Ask Arn almost anything?
You betcha.
All right, let's do it.
Why do you laugh when you say that?
Well, because it's not really anything. It's almost anything. And we'll have fun. It's going to be a good time. I laugh, too, because some of these questions, these guys really come up. These guys and gals come up with some good stuff. So we're going to have fun today.
They sit in a very dark room and think of this stuff, don't they?
They do. They do. And then we get to unbox it all here. So listen, in place of the first lady of the Arn Anderson fan club, the man behind the idea for the Horseman Titles t-shirt, which, by the way, you can find on boxofgimmicks.com, Bryant Haremza leads off the questions this week. And he wants to know, in your opinion, Arn, what means more to having a championship legacy, the length of the reign or how many times you win the championship?
I think they're both important, but only if the amount of time that you have it, you defend it. You know, you can have it 6 months and do two title defenses.
It's not, right.
not much of a title reign. That's why I love the TV title. You know, because, you know, every single week on television, you were going 10, 15, sometimes 20 minutes every single week defending that title. And that's, that's difficult. The world title shouldn't be defended every week or even every 2 weeks and make it special. Someone should have to get on a mighty big roll and have a lot of momentum to qualify to get a title shot. So, you know, the tag titles, same thing. You can go out every single week and defend those. I would say it's a body of work over a period of time and combine that with the quality of opponents.
So in your estimation, it doesn't matter really necessarily how many times you want them. It's what do you do when you have it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like
that. And he has a follow-up question. He says, Brian, the moment that you were not involved in, but is something that when you still think about it, gives you goosebumps. So is there a match or a moment you were not involved in at all, Arn, but man, when you think about it, it is a goosebump moment for you in the wrestling business?
Wow.
Yeah, we're coming out strong. Brian Haremza is a well-studied wrestling fan, and he has great questions.
Yeah, I go back to Larry Zbyszko and myself in Savannah, Georgia, tag team champions. Dustin Rhodes needed a partner. Had some difficulties locating one, but he finally did find one. And when it came through the curtain, it was in the form of a dragon. My first time meeting, believe this or not, Ricky Steamboat, person to person. He came out with that dragon hood on, and I don't believe anybody put it together. Because he had, you know, he was not working with the company at the time. He had been somewhere else, kind of off the radar. When he pulled that dragon head off and it was Ricky Steamboat, that place exploded. I think there might have been 7,000 people, 6,000, 7,000 people. It was packed, but it wasn't a giant 20,000 seat arena. But boy, were they loud, and boy, did they pop. And the match that followed, Larry was at his best that day. It just, the adrenaline was through the roof, and what a great match they gave us. That would be number one, I think.
If you haven't gotten a chance, make sure you go back and check that one out. It's in the archives because we actually watched that clip together. You remember that, Arn? You and I went back?
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun, so check that one out. Alex Pyrus Redondo has a question for you, Arn. Alex wants to know if you remember the Titus World Slide in Saudi Arabia. Do you remember him running down, sliding right into that ring?
Yeah, I mean, he's lucky that he didn't hit the crossbar. Even a big, strong, and he was one of those guys that would walk in your house and walk out with your refrigerator on his back, that kind of strong. We call him cock strong where I come from.
Yeah.
And not weightlifting strong, which he was probably that too. But man, it just looked out. The configuration of the ring has a big crossbar right underneath the apron. Mm. And he slid underneath it. You couldn't have a Hollywood stunt. You couldn't have pulled off any better than that. It was smooth as silk. And we laughed our ass off, but you know, he could have got, could have killed a normal person if you'd right. hit that on the dead fly, you know.
That with the speed and the power and the force that he was coming down that aisle, if he would have connected just the wrong way, it could have been really bad.
Yeah. Thank God it turned out nobody got hurt, but it was hilarious once you found out everybody was okay. Oh my God.
It's everybody's favorite gif, you know, watching him just slide now underneath that ring and the way that it popped the announcers too was a lot of fun. So,
oh God. Well, you didn't expect that in 1,000 days. You never expected that. And if he tried to do it again, there's no way he could have pulled that off a second time.
We continue on. Matt M has a question. He said, I regret not asking this when Brock was on, but can you tell us about the night that Brock headlined, versus Malachi Black? This was in, August of 21. Do you remember that night, him working with Malachi and what it meant to Brock, and just talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, we knew, you know, it's like he had already came out and attacked me previous out of nowhere, during a you know, a promo segment. And it pissed Brock off like it would any son. And he knew, and I knew, and everybody in the building knew that he was going to be outgunned that day because look at the experience level. He was just getting started. Overwhelmed. And, you know, but hey, he went out, he gave it his best shot. He got ate alive. And that's part of this business too. I was very proud of him for looking out after his old man.
There you go. We're going to move on. Our pal and proud owner of a Horseman jacket, Brad Stanton, asks, what's your opinion on televised squash matches on the current product?
I like them. They serve a purpose, you know, just Brock. That was no more than a glorified squash match with Malachi. It's just, what is it viewed at? If the announced team will let us know that the guy is, you know, just getting started, he's inexperienced, he's probably, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time, then you understand it. There's always matches that are overwhelming one way or the other. Other should be. If every match is a 50-50 match, how is anybody going to establish themselves as being dominant? You know what I mean?
And
that's the way I look at it. It serves a valuable tool.
Yeah, and it seemed like for a while it became a lost art, at least for television, because everybody, you know, chasing ratings, obviously. But as you said, lost art when building that next stud or that next beast. To have someone that you just constantly see come out and destroy people. And we've started to see a little bit more of that in the recent last few years, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you have to have somebody get over first before they can turn around then and wrestle someone that's going to get creamed, but they get something maybe during that match that you didn't expect. And that's all they needed for that day to let you know, well, they're coming along. They're getting better. But somebody has to be dominant. You can't get anybody else over in this business till you get over.
Well said. Drew Landry is up next, has a great question. And he says, you said once, had Jim Crockett not went back on his word on payments, you would have stayed with him rather than going to WWF in 1989. Hindsight being 2020, Arn, would you have rather stayed with Crockett than go to WWF? Or do you feel like you made the right decision going up north for that year?
I made the right decision. But if that's a, this is a big but now, if he would have just paid me what we agreed on, even if he did it in payments, but just be good on it. Got to remember the key to this whole story is I'm sitting down. The owner of the company walks in. Arn, can I see you for a minute? We go find a quiet place, his office. I don't remember where it was. And this was all his idea. Hey, you've been one of my top guys. You've been working your ass off. You know, you're doing a great job for me. And I'd like to reward you. When they volunteer all that, it's not like, well, I was expecting to make this, but the house is, you know, it's the house is great, but we got screwed on the payoff. That happened all the time. But when you're told something, I want to pay you X amount of money, man, just do it.
Yeah.
Because once that's the first time that I had felt abused, used, slighted, and lied to.
Not cool. I got to ask though this, just thinking through, you know, this question a little bit more. As you sit here today, are you glad that you lived that WWF experience? Because I know you went through a lot of politics, but you got to wrestle a lot of great tag teams. You did have to see what it was like, and it was a tough road to travel as far as being on the road so often away from family. But at the end of the day, aren't you kind of glad that you got to see what that experience is like so that when you look back on your career, you never have to say, what if I went to W? I never got to try that, but you did, and you got a year of it. So are you kind of glad that you got that experience when you look back on it?
No, I'd have never left. I'd have never left.
You'd rather be without it.
I would love today to be sitting here telling you I had some kind of job with Jim Crockett Promotions that I got to go to day after tomorrow.
And you would just, you would have been fine and never had any one regret and having never worked for WWF.
Nope. If it would have, I mean, it was the time of my life. I learned everything that I knew about the business, how to navigate the business. You know, it was a 3-year learning experience that wrestling 330, 340 days. That's the only way you get experience like that with a host of top talent. I would have never left if they would have made it right, and I wouldn't have felt like I missed anything.
There you go. No regrets. And that's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Well, Paul, here's the thing. The reality is, no matter how you slice it, dice it, how much I made, how good the exposure was, how good the experience parts of it were, the fact is I lost a year of my life from my family that you'll never get back. 24 days a month gone.
And I think that arm right there really demonstrates to our listeners the kind of man that you are. And I say that with nothing but respect, because there are, you know, folks that are like, oh, the glory, the attention, the limelight, to say that I worked for that company. And that's their number one motivation. That's their goal. They want that. They crave that. They're chasing that. But for you, at the end of the day, is my family's always going to, has always come first in my life. And that was my biggest regret, was that 1 year. I just wasn't able to see them and spend that time with them. And that's the difference.
And the last year, getting to be with the family as much as I have, with all the things we've been through. Let me tell you something, all the glitz and glamour and you name it, all the positives that you get from this business, nothing compares to my son walking up to me with two baseball gloves and a baseball and saying, "We go pitch." None of that compares to that.
There you go. We'll keep going here, Arn, and thank you for sharing that. One of our buddies, Nick Lenz, is up next, and he wants you to tell us more about what you think of the ring work of Lord Steven Regal in 1993.
I've stated many times, I love that Italian, the European style. I love it. You know, those lifters and swapping the holds and the chain wrestling and all that, just good solid stuff. I love it. And Regal brought that style with him when he came over here. Regal could have a match by himself in the ring. He was just that good.
He's one of those guys, I think, as fans, at least at the age that I was, it was like he was watching a different style, but you have a deeper appreciation for him now as you've gotten older, going back watching him, than maybe what you did as a kid, kind of seeing him, you know. At least that's for speaking for myself, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a high spot guy. You go back and watch all of his matches, but he would do some of the coolest, you know. He would get control of you, you would reverse something and he would reverse it again, something entirely different that you had never seen. And I think you're looking for the big stuff when you're a kid.
Right.
As an adult, you're watching him go through this sequence of just dominating a guy and you go, God, that guy's smooth.
Nick goes on and he talks about impact wrestler Speedball Mike Bailey. Arn, have you gotten much an opportunity to see Mike Bailey or his work maybe on the indies, traveling around at all? Have you been familiar with him?
Just once.
Okay.
Brock and I went from a signing in Indianapolis up the road to Ohio. They were running a show and they wanted us to come up and Brock work a match so that Ambrose was going to be there that night. So he wanted to critique his work and stuff. So we shot up there and worked and Speedball worked a match. And he also came and talked to Brock and gave him his insight after the match, which we appreciated very much. And yeah, I mean, he's one of those high, he's a high spot guy for sure.
He's extremely talented. And Nick said, you know, he would love, Speedball had mentioned on his Twitch that he would love to have a match with Brian Danielson. But, he asked if you saw his match most recently with Will Ospreay. They wrestled at an Impact pay-per-view recently. Dave Meltzer gave it 5+ stars. It was an incredible match. There you go. He did interact and got to interact him and Brock with Mike Bailey. And I think that's what Nick was looking for. But he also wants to know, Arn, do you have any replicas of the championship that you have won aside from the classic NWA World TV Championship? So do you have any replica belts there at the house? No,
I do not. You turned them in when, when you either left the company or you gave them back or whatever the deal was, or when you lost them and, you wasn't allowed to take them home.
He wants to know how you feel about Billy Corgan's NWA using the classic NWA World TV Championship design for their version of it, the old red leather title. They're using that there.
Yeah, buddy, they sure are. I am extremely interested to see how that goes. You know, Billy, I could tell if I've met him, it was only one time in passing. And I'm not sure that I've ever met him, but them getting a TV deal, I think they're going to be on the CM, correct?
CW, I think CW, is what it's been. Yeah. And all good. That's what's been put out there. And, that's exciting. Again, more positive news for wrestling.
It's great for all the young guys that need places to go and to learn. And there's such a rich history with the NWA. It's, very, very interesting to see how that goes.
All I'm going to say, and this is just Paul Bromwell talking, nothing Arn or anybody else, I still think it was cool seeing Anderson with that red TV title sitting behind an NWA booth cutting a promo. That's just my fandom.
Who's that?
I would love to see an Anderson with that red leather TV title cutting a promo with the NWA letters behind him. That's just, I'm just speaking it into existence right here. This is just all me. So.
Well, just like every company that's out there, I wish it all of them nothing but success.
There you go.
This was because it's just good for everybody that's in the business, no matter what position you hold or what you do. If you have a job in this industry, that you just got another option and another place to possibly go and get better and learn. And
yep. There you go. Philip Lane is up next. He's curious to know how many pages is or was a contract in all the different companies you worked for. So have you noticed, like, hey, WWF's contract was 25 pages. WCW's was like a one pager, you know, front and back. He's curious about the companies you work for and the size of their contracts.
Well, the one thing I know, the first contract I ever signed was WWF.
Okay.
And I don't remember how many pages it was. It was probably 10. But the thing that jumped off the page is what they guaranteed you. Now, their guarantee was for $150 a day times 10 days. That's all they guaranteed you.
Yikes.
Do the math.
Yeah, not a lot.
I'm traveling the world for a guarantee of $1,500 for the year. Insane.
But the good news is your earnings never look like that for them, right?
No. Yeah. It was, if you walked in the door and you wanted to be a complete, or you're a complete asshole, or you were someone that was going to poison their company from day one.
They had themselves covered.
And, yeah. You know, I'm sure they never enforced it. I don't think they could have actually enforced it. There was the clause in there. When you no compete clause.
Yes.
You know, if you took a walk, you couldn't work anywhere else for a while. All things that if you had a good lawyer, you could get out of, but it would cost you a fortune in lawyer's fees. So
sure.
It was one-sided. My lawyer that looked at that one, he said, well, they can never enforce this, but let me just tell you, they could tie that up in court and cost you a nice chunk of change.
So when you leave WWF, you come back to WCW. Is it now contract days for WCW?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it was, like I said, I didn't count the pages. Sure. Where do I sign? What was the amount? Okay. times 3 years? Okay. Show me where to sign.
Yep. All right. There you go. And then it was, hey, let's go out to dinner tonight, Aaron. I got a new contract signed.
Guess what? I'm going to be home.
There you go.
Except for 8 days, not 24.
Happy times. A wrestling historian, speaking of going out to dinner with the family, he wants to know, what's your favorite restaurant? Get to pick one.
Probably Nakato's Japanese.
Okay. That's your spot. That's where you went for your birthday dinner.
That's the special place we used to go, like, over the years. We were there the first day, probably the first week they opened, because we lived right over there by it. At the time, we were in a different house, the old neighborhood. We probably started going about a month after they opened up and went 2-3 times a year, you know, special occasions, birthdays.
What's your go-to when you go in and order? Do you have the same thing you get all the time, Arn, or are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Filet and lobster, buddy. Filet and lobster and double noodles. They do those fried noodles.
You double order them.
Double order, dude.
I love it. All right. Do you do dessert there too, or you come home and have a dessert?
No, okay. No. They got incredible salads, you know, they're cold. Salads are cold, and the salad dressing is that, you know, oriental, got a wang to it. The soup, the soup is incredible. And then generous portion, 9-ounce filet and lobster.
Wow, sounds delicious. There you go. Well, now he's got us all hungry. We move on to Terrell Lewis. He said, outside of the younger Mr. Anderson, if you could have one match with a current talent from any company. All right, Arn, let's dial it back into your 20, 25 years ago body. If you could have one match with a current talent from any company, who might it be?
AJ Styles.
Okay. Why do you go to him right away? Talk about AJ. I mean, obviously he's awesome, but is there particular reason?
I just always was very aware and respectful of his talent. And I'm not sure he ever did with WWE or ever will be rewarded or understood just how good he is.
Right. Appreciated for how good he has been over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he does enough flashy stuff that he really keeps you tuned in. But he also does some really cool stuff in the ring. And it's just one of those that, you know, I would watch from afar and watch how good he was and just marvel at the guy. And obviously two different time periods for our careers. But
AJ, a fellow Georgia boy, just like you.
You know what? May have something to do with it. Yeah.
There you go. I like it. Yeah. He's a Bulldogs fan too, by the way. So
there's another check.
All right. Sam Lawson is up next. And he said, I know you've got to be a barbecue connoisseur. I'm originally from North Carolina, so I've got to ask, are you an Eastern North Carolina barbecue vinegar sauce guy or South Carolina mustard sauce guy or another kind?
Funny you should say that. Now, I don't know how extensive and how many of these restaurants there are, but Firehouse Subs right now has a barbecue sandwich with, I think it must be the North Carolina, just a little hint of that sauce that is off the charts. It's limited time only, they say. So if you're driving distance, go grab one. It just, all the ingredients, the bread, from everything from the bread to the meat to the sauce. And I like very light sauce, whatever it is. Sometimes no sauce. If it's brisket, doesn't need any sauce. But they have, Aaron brought home a couple of those, you know, a month ago or so. I went, damn, that is good.
So I'm on their website, and they have the King's Hawaiian pork and slaw sandwich is back. Slow-smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack, sweet and tangy slaw, sweet mustard sauce, and mayo on a toasted King's Hawaiian bun. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
Oh, Warren, what is happening?
It was a find, brother. That was a find.
It is. All right. Well, there's his recommendation of the week, Sam. So if you want to know what kind of sauce he likes, just go grab that sandwich, and that's what he's digging.
Just how they make it, and I like the slaw on it, too.
All right. One of my longtime buddies, Mike Hoop, he's up next, and he said, Arn, you had a unique skill set, able to be tougher than everyone else, but also to make others look great, too. If Junkyard Dog doesn't suggest you become an Anderson, what impact do you think that would have had on your career? So what is your answer there? That's a great question.
Yeah, I love what ifs. I love what ifs. And I could have never been. Could have been just Marty Lundy floating around first match, which guys, you know, make a living back then, you know, in the first match, but it was a whole different road. There are no guarantees. I think that everything in this business is timing, and just the timing was right. And you got to look at the career that I'm still sitting here talking to you, Paul, and answering these questions, which are great questions, that it was meant to be. You just have to follow the signs in this business. Right. You know, when people, you know, the old timers used to say a couple things. Save your money, kid. Always, if you're, you know, always have your bag with you, your work bag, your boots, your tights, no matter what the occasion. If you're just going down to say hello and some friends work for another company, take your bag with you. So there's a reason for that. Somebody may get sick or hurt or not show up, or their travel got screwed up and they need to put you to work. This was back in the old days when you didn't have contracts and all that. You just never know.
You don't. You just follow. It's follow what you're supposed to be doing. Try to put yourself in positions where to be successful. Arn JYD says you should be an Anderson, and the rest is history. Here we sit. You're 65 years old.
Yep.
Doing Ask Arn, talking about your next year's video game, talking about an action figure that's coming out, and just appearances left and right. What is life?
Well, and the fact that some people still think I have merit to what I'm saying and what I'm thinking and an understanding of the business is
it's awesome.
It should have passed me by three times.
It's fantastic. Also, Hoop wants to know, when are we hitting up that barbecue spot? I'm hungry. Hoop's from Charlotte area. And he was on our live Zoom we did on ad-free shows not too long ago. And he's ready to go. He wants to go do some barbecue with Arn Anderson.
I am unavailable, but I told you where to go get it. And if you live in Charlotte, it's Firehouse Subs, buddy.
There you go. Matt S., he writes in, we all know that Arn's in-ring career was cut short by injury, but immediately prior to the injury, where did Arn feel he was at in terms of longevity? Was he ready to start slowing down, or did he feel that he still had plenty left in the tank?
Well, I'd had a couple of episodes with nerve damage, you know, smaller than the last time that it kicked in and just shut my arm down, shut my hand down and all that. So I had figured that, you know, it was winding down. But, we brainwash ourselves in this business that if we can get to our chiropractor and we can get to the gym, we can fix us. We just feel that way. Most guys that have long runs in the business do end up fixing themselves. But you can also tell that when you have a constant, like I started to get gravel and I turned my neck, and when you can hear that, then you know that's chronic, that's daily, there's something going on in there, and it was bone spurs that had to be taken out and stuff. So you kind of know when you're, if you watch the signs, you know what you used to could do pain-free, and now you know what you can still do, but it's with pain. And then when the pain gets to be so much and you lose one of your limbs, it's pretty clear, and it smacks you in the face. Hey, you may be looking for something else to do.
What's crazy to me, Arn, as we sit here and you share that, you were not, as well documented, a high flyer. You were not someone that took a lot of high risk moves. You were a mat wrestler, mat technician, you know, spine buster here, cord buster there. But to have all the trauma that you had to deal with, the grinding of the neck and the nerve damage, man, let this be a lesson to the guys that are out there diving headfirst, however many days a week. If it can happen to a mat wrestler who had a few impact moves, the toll that it took on your body year after year, you know, this is why I think that you warn folks and you warn the young guys about the toll this business can take on their bodies.
And in those days, you know, back then, I mean, if you work with the Steiners 100 times in a year, they weren't reckless. But when Rick Steiner clotheslined you, buddy, you knew you had been clotheslined. And my chiropractor explained it to me pretty graphically. He said, here's the deal. You know, you might not have got dropped on your head, but every time, and he would say, when you hit on your back, when you snap off and hit on your back so hard, that's like being in a car wreck. And if you do 10 of those a match, you just were in 10 car wrecks. So you don't have to get dropped on your head, which is a shorter route, you know, to getting hurt real bad, but just getting, you know, those snap bumps and clotheslined and whatever it may be. It doesn't take long to, your body's not supposed to do that. Mm.
Adam Krasnoff's up next, and he wants to know if you have any memorable Mean Gene drinking stories that you could share. Was Gene usually the last man standing at the bar?
No, he was not the last man standing. He loved to drink, and he had probably some stiff. I would say he's probably a vodka guy, maybe gin and tonic. I don't know. But one time I was doing the agent thing too. But I was leaving the arena late. We were somewhere down in Florida, and we came back to the hotel. Obviously, being Gene, he'd gotten there maybe hour and a half before us. But I walked in, and I saw a table full of the guys, and this is how crazy this business is. I said, oh, that looks like a good table. I'll go over and visit with those guys. And I walk over, and Mean Gene is sitting there out cold with a shrimp stuck out of his mouth. And everybody is just acting like it's a normal thing. Everybody right at the table. And I went over and took the stuff. Jesus, guys, it's Mean Gene. I took the shrimp out of his mouth, woke him up, and he looked around. And he just grabbed his drink and started back drinking. A man
It was like pulling the string on a puppet. You just kind of woke him back up again and his head raised. And
5 other guys that were sitting there were just yakking back and forth like it was a normal thing for Mean Gene to be passed out with a shrimp stuck out of his mouth. It's a crazy business.
Oh, what a time. That's something else. You don't remember the guy sitting there with him, do you? Just watching him with the shrimp hanging out of his mouth?
No, I don't. It looked like just some of the normal guys. It wasn't
right.
Wasn't like he was sitting with the nasty boys and they were pouring shots down his neck.
It was just normal people letting them lay there like that.
Yeah. That's it. He was sitting straight up with his eyes shut and a jumbo shrimp stuck out of his mouth. It's just, I love Gene Oakland, man. He was one of the classic guys in the business. He was awesome. Funny as hell.
The quips from Gene Okerlund, just so good. And he would just do them live on TV. Just let it roll.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
What an asset to the business.
Absolutely.
He was.
Known shit disturber Yambag Jones did not get the memo on no more Elegante questions. So, but this is a question that not only our shit disturber Yambag's interested in, but so is our research guy. These guys, they really hate me, I think. Would you rather work Elegante for 6 months straight or give Paulie B a spine buster once a month for six consecutive months?
You're dead, Paul.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Got to throw you under the bus.
That's all good. Oh, wow. 6 months worth of spine busters. Holy shit.
At least.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Yambag. You got your answer. He's taking my spine to the pine. All right, we got some more here. Figure four from Twitter. Out of all the companies you've worked for over your legendary career, what were some of the biggest strengths each company brought to the table while you were working there? So we're looking for some strengths.
Well, there was all kinds of successful companies. Tennessee had their own way of doing business. They had some trips, you know, a couple of long drives, but guys could go there and baby faces. This was one of the things that was a huge, huge benefit to work in places like that. And Continental Championship Wrestling that the Fullers and Bob Armstrong owned, the baby faces could sell their own merchandise and they kept every dime of it, which was huge asset to those guys, because in small territories, you know, even if you're working on top, you might make anywhere from $600 to $1,000 a week, which in those days and early 80s, middle 80s, you know, if you're making a grand a week and you only have one stay over that week,
that's a nice living.
If you're a single guy, that's really a nice living. And you turn around and you do another $500 or $600 or doing maybe another $1,000 in merchandise. Mm. You know, that was a pretty sweet deal. Now the heels, even though I prefer to be a heel and would be, even knowing going in that you're not going to sell any merch, it was a pretty sweet lifestyle, because the smart promoters would plus the top heels a little extra.
Okay.
So you didn't miss, and it wasn't just hitting you in the head. Hey, look at those. I'm making these
guys. You didn't
miss
the merch money. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making these guys look like $1 trillion and they're getting all the benefits of it.
Sure.
You know, so.
That's good. And yeah, that shows the sign of a real businessman as far as a promoter to say, hey, we know we've asked you to be a heel. You're doing a great job of it, but that's what's bringing the people in, or the hot feuds. So we're going to take care of you a little bit more on the back end, realizing you're not going to make that merch money. So, hey, there you go.
Old saying, baby faces sell merchandise, heels sell tickets.
So there were promoters, though, that didn't get that. They didn't put that together, right?
It wasn't everybody, but these like Ron Fuller and Bob Armstrong and like Tennessee, they would get return talent. Talent would work there and be treated properly, and they would leave and go maybe for a year or two, make some rounds with some others. And if they weren't being treated properly, could always go back. You would always work a 2-week notice and leave the right way. And you might not, you know, you might not come back there, but you might.
There you go. UNC Amania asked if you have a favorite James Bond film. Or, no, I'm sorry, not film. Maybe a favorite James Bond. So, actor playing James Bond.
Oh, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. There
There's only one James Bond. One.
There you go. Michael Burgett, what was the most interesting or wildest venue that you ever wrestled in?
Wildest venue. Houma, Louisiana. I just was starting in the business, and brother, it was down there where there were some rough folks, and they loved baby faces and they hated the heels. And when you walked out of the dressing room door, there was about 8 feet, I guess it was about 8 feet wide. There was a walkway, but the only restraint was just a single rope that led you to the ring. Was no barricades or any of that. And brother, Ted DiBiase had so much heat. Now, I was just first match, but I could see they were already drinking. First match, the crowd was drinking those big draft beers, and they were raising hell. Did you just take a drink of a big beer?
Well, when you said drink, it's not beer. It's a Monster low sugar. I love this.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're talking about drinking. I got thirsty.
Okay. Nothing wrong with having a beer along as we're doing the show.
Oh, that would really make this show a lot of fun. I'll tell you that.
That's acceptable. But this Ted DiBiase, who was the top heel and had some heat, boy, we all had to stay until the end of the night because he would open up. I've seen him a couple times open that door and start out the door to go to the ring, and they would attack him right there. He'd have to come right back in because there was no restraints and maybe one or two cops, but the cops were local. These right. are their neighbors and friends.
Yes, they're not, exactly. They also drive school buses and stuff too. I mean,
they're not on your team. They're on their team.
Barney Fife.
Yeah. Buddy, so.
They're not on your team. They're on their team. I love that line.
Yeah. They'd beat the piss out of you on the way to the ring.
That reminds me of the scene from the Sportatorium when watching World Class. You know, the Von Erichs running down, they've made out with six people, girls on the way to the ring. There's no barrier whatsoever. The string, a little string between the old ladies and the ring. I mean, no security.
Yeah, 100%. They would, it was usually like a Sunday afternoon show, boy. And it was wild.
Wild and crazy. Wild and crazy stuff. Leanne Richardson says, what do you miss most? Well, it's definitely not that setup. What do you miss most from the old territory days?
The best time I had in the business was, again, it was living in Pensacola, Florida, working for Continental, the treatment by the Fullers and Bob Armstrong was just incredible. And it was such a relaxed atmosphere. And we were only driving like 800 miles a week. That's a week.
What years was this, Arn, for you when you worked there?
84 and the first part of 85. I was there 14 months. And driving back and forth. I mean, I can give you the rundown real easy. Monday, 275 miles each way to Birmingham, up and back. Tuesday, 50 miles over to Mobile and back, 50 miles each way. We wouldn't leave the beach till 6 o'clock. We'd go up and shower up at the, wash the oil off of us, throw on a clean pair of shorts, a tank top, go to the town, go to Mobile. Wednesday was 160 miles. Oh, no, Wednesday was off.
Nice.
There's that key word, off. Wednesday's off. Thursday was Montgomery, 160 miles either way. Piece of cake. Friday was a spot show kind of on the way to Dothan. You'd stay over that one night. Friday night, you'd spend the night because you had to be at TV by noon in Dothan. We would go to TV taping from noon to two, something like that. Go back to our hotel. They would give us a late checkout and we would stay until about six. We would go down to the arena in the same town, Farm Center. Do a house show, which was one of your money towns, man. It was dirt floors. It was good business for that place. We would work there Saturday night. We would go back to Pensacola, spend Saturday night, and Sunday was Pensacola. What a sweet schedule they had.
But you were busy, though. You were busy.
But it was a piece of cake because it was short trips.
Yeah. And you had Wednesday off, so that would have been what? Your beach day. Baby oiled up.
Oh, yeah. 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 Absolutely. And you could go Sunday, too. I mean, you were in Pensacola. You could go to the beach.
True.
All day. The only day that was a little bit a little bit taxing was you had to get up early and work out because you had 275 each way to Birmingham. So Birmingham was your money. That was your money.
Okay.
That was your money day of that and Dothan major entire week.
There you go. Jason Hunter, we have a few more questions here and then we'll wrap it up. If Arn made one episode of Dark Side of the Ring, what would the story be about?
Well, I was on one of those. I've already done one, right?
Yes, you have. Yeah.
I don't know. Those things are so dark. Those episodes are so dark, and they, which I know that's what the audience is craving. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's in the name. I was sitting there one night watching one of the episodes, and I watched them all. And I went,
it's compelling.
This is depressing. And
yeah.
Brock looked at me and went, Dad, look at the name of the show.
Right.
They're telling you up front.
Yeah.
What you're suddenly some revelation.
Yeah. but it is something that we're all drawn to want to hear that type. It's something how the human nature works.
I will just say this about that. It's like, and it could be very true, and it could be an exaggeration, and none of it could be true. But there's always a couple of episodes of guys getting their eyeballs pulled out and eating their eyeballs and shit. I never heard any of that when I was in the business.
But man, it makes for great TV, buddy.
Well, it's compelling. The first time you hear it, you go, wait a minute, he pulled a guy's eye out and ate his eyeball? That was a little strong the first time I heard it. I was mortified.
I can't remember whose episode. Was that Abdullah's episode? I can't remember whose episode that was.
No, I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say one of them was like Jerry Jarrett's company.
Oh, he might have been telling a story about one of his
Bill
guys.
Yeah. Watts, I think, has a story like that.
Yeah.
And it's like the first time you hear it, I was like this. I was like, Jesus, I never heard that. And then you hear it again and you go, wait a minute. There was more than one episode of this.
Right.
But they swear by it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but if it did, that was probably two times too much. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I think you need to go with a different storyline. Use a different gimmick.
That puts a whole new twist on aggravated assault, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, Jason, I'm not too sure what he would pick, but there seems to be a lot to choose from, and Arn's sucked into the series, so we'll see what else they can come up with. Arn, would you participate in another Dark Side of the Ring if they asked you to contribute?
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Depending on the topic, right?
Yeah. Like I said, I've said a few times, and I mean it, I do not want to ever be sitting in front of a camera and knocking the business in any way, and burying anybody anyway, because this business has given me everything that my family and I have. I owe this business everything. It doesn't owe me anything.
There you go. Arn, we'll do one more question. Actually, just do two quick ones, and then we'll wrap it up. Sonny Kane wants to know, what was life on the road like with Ric Flair? Huh, maybe that's your Dark Side of the Ring episode. I'm just kidding. What was life on the road like with Ric Flair?
Well, he, for the predominance of the Crockett run, Ric always rented limos. After we'd been there maybe 6 or 8 months in, after I got there, Rick started, and we had gotten this horseman thing up and running, and it was hitting on all cylinders. Rick was paying, I want to say it was about 60 grand a year in limos, which he was making well over probably $500,000-$600,000 back then in his position with Crockett. So he was renting limos. We started staying at Marriott's. I'm a little bit of a fickler about a clean hotel room. Always have been, even before I could afford it. You know, when I spent plenty of time in Louisiana on some real dumps.
I can imagine.
I mean, not
roach
even
motels.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, you go over to the door and there's a gap about that much from the top of the door to the, actually to the ceiling, you stick your arm through it. Yeah. So the guy must have been high that was cutting those doors. That's all I can tell you. When they built that hotel.
Right.
But I mean, I went through all the rotten stuff, three or four, five guys in a room did that. But you know, we lived first class, and then they started adding those planes and stuff. And it literally was, you know, and Rick would always, we'd go back to the bar at the hotel and he would buy 30 shots of kamikazes right off the get go. His whole deal was he wanted to get everybody tore up in the bar and then sit back and laugh at them.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. If you could afford it.
Right. Not a bad deal.
We weren't turning it down. Let me put it to you this way. It was like living like
rock stars.
Yeah. It was like, you know, being on tour with Led Zeppelin or something.
That's great. Oh, Arm. Well, listen, we're going to wrap it up there. What a great time. We have tons more questions, but like I said, we have them saved here. We're going to add to it. We're going to do two special Ask Arns to wrap up the year. And before we get out of here, I want to remind you to check out arnlinks.com for all things Enforcer. The weather has changed drastically. And if you need to get those horseman hats, the jackets, get them ASAP because the orders will get backed up. With the holiday season rapidly approaching, they're available all a variety of colors. The fit is fantastic. They're true to size. So make sure you grab one of those awesome jackets. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see mine sitting right behind me on my shoulder. The hat stage there as well. Arn, I know you love your jacket, and it is getting to be that kind of weather, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And get your order in early. Don't get backed up on these deals because we ran into that. This company is a beautiful find. They do beautiful work, but they're like anybody else. You know, they can only handle so much at a time. If you're planning on doing it for a gift for Christmas or something.
There you go. Well, listen, also, if your business targets 25 to 54 year old men, no better place than to advertise with us right here on the Arn Show. Listen, we're bringing back our buddies at Spider Grip here soon. And the reason why is because it works. So go over to advertisewitharn.com now. Find out more about how you can advertise with us right here on the Arn Show. And again, we have that super targeted demographic of the male audience, 25 to 54 years old. So check it out. Advertisewitharn.com. Be a part of the Arn Show. Arn, next week, we're going to cover November 1993. We're going to watch the story with Aroma. He turns heel. That's all going to unfold. We talk about another Clash of the Champions. It's Battle Bowl pay-per-view. And of course, we're going to discuss the build of the 10th anniversary of the granddaddy of them all. It's Starrcade 1993. And Arn, I appreciate you having some fun with me this week on Ask Arn Anything.
You bet. Hey, congratulations to Spider Grip people. That thing has went national, right? It is blowing up.
It has. It's on Walmart, Amazon. It has blown up. So we're going to have them back soon as a sponsor in the show. They're huge fans of the Arn Show, David Britt and team. So, man, it's really exciting to see.
And I'm a fan of theirs, as I know you are. So,
oh, absolutely. Great guy and great company. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. On behalf of the Hall of Famer, the Enforcer, AA Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week for another edition of Arn.